This morning's Bible reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 25. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord.
Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Well, friends, it's with great joy that we invite Tony Gerritsen, the principal of St. John's College in Remuera or Meadowbank, depending on which postcode you like. He is the principal of the college, overseeing the training of many people going into ministry. And so on him is a great calling and a great responsibility. And it's with joy that we welcome him here to come and teach us today something more of the Lord. Now, you may know his progeny. A little while ago, last year, I think, or maybe even the year before, time goes so quickly, Caleb and Billy led worship for us. Billy is his daughter, and they are both now ordained, Caleb and Billy, and ministering somewhere down in the wilds, somewhere near the capital, I do believe. But Tony, can I invite you up? We are going to pray for you and invite you to open God's word to us. I invite the stewards or the ushers, please, to spread the Bibles around or turn your app on or do whatever it is to have a look at the word of God, because we're looking at scripture today. Father, we thank you and bless you for Tony. Thank you, Lord, for all that he is in you, accepted and loved. And we pray, Lord, that you would fill him by your Spirit, that we may hear your words through his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Fraser. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. And while my daughter might have the ability to sing, as you would have heard, those of you that were there, it did skip a generation, I assure you. Who banks with Kiwi Bank? Right, well, should you happen to get through my customer ID and through my password, they are a bank that then asks you to have a kind of few questions. One of the questions is, what's your favourite holiday place or holiday destination? So if you happen to get through there and get this right, you can then deposit some money into my slightly overdrawn account anytime you like. The special place for my wife Gillian and me is St Paul's Cathedral in London. It's an amazing place, and we've been up in the Whispering Gallery. We even have climbed right to the very top. And one day when I was in there, I got chatting to one of the elderly canons of the cathedral who was taking the Eucharist that morning right underneath that majestic dome. And he said to me, would I like to read the epistle? I was a little taken back, but one can't let these opportunities go by. However, I did feel somewhat underdressed in Kiwi attire of jeans, running shoes and open-neck shirt. It didn't seem quite the right attire for that particular occasion. Anyway, the passage was one of Paul's more convoluted letters. So I went and sat underneath in St Paul's. Who's been there? Right, okay. The Holman Hunt painting to the left-hand side of the chancel steps. Sat underneath that, it's the picture of Jesus standing at the door. It only has a knob on the other side, not on Jesus' side, knocking, holding the lamp. It's based on Revelation 3:20, which says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So there in that St Paul's Cathedral, with a bit of St Paul's epistle to read, I realised just how challenging it can be sometimes to get across Paul's rather long sentences and thoughts. As I said, at 8 o'clock in Ephesians, he has one sentence that goes for 167 words, another one that goes for 246. And I had a bit of Romans 8 where you have to, I ended up sort of saying, well, there is this and there is that and so on to get the point across. Paul also, as some of you know, liked to preach for rather lengthy periods of time. In Acts chapter 20, we hear of the young Eutychus sitting up on a wall listening to Paul, and as Paul went on and on and on, as Eutychus fell asleep and dropped to the ground and died. How long am I preaching for this morning, Fraser? I mean, there is a good ending to the story, but Paul does at times have rather lengthy and challenging passages to get one's head around. This morning's, fortunately, is not too challenging, hopefully. But a little bit of kind of background to Paul and what's going on. Most Anglicans are not always at every week's service. So let's just remind ourselves that he is in prison, and he's writing to this church in Colossae. Again, as I said, at 8 o'clock, we had the privilege of being in Rome, staying with Archbishop Sir David Moxon in the Anglican Centre, which is in a rather rumpty palace, and we were up on the second floor in an elevator that the Queen actually had to get into with two bodyguards. I think it was all a bit close for Her Majesty, and when she left, she said, we will walk down the stairs. But anyway, moving on. So here's the floor, and then David took us down into the other corner of the palace, and there is an excavation going on at the moment that they are almost 100% sure is where Paul was imprisoned in Rome, where he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, and probably the letters to Colossae and to Ephesus. So it was kind of quite spine-tingling to be down there and to think about what was motivating him to write to this church in Colossae. Now, you know, the Christian faith was new and fledgling, and as he was taking it, Paul, out beyond the Jewish environments, how do you cope with people who are coming to terms with us with all the other religions that are there? And what was happening in Colossae was they were getting rather excited about angels, and they were beginning to worship angels. Then they were drawing in some of the Jewish customs and practices and requirements, and they were having Greek and Oriental influences coming in as well to their teaching. And Paul is wanting to say, whoa, this is about Jesus. And as Fraser pointed out 2 weeks ago, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 2, 3 and 4, it really all can be summed up in a five-letter word. Who was here? What was it? Jesus. Right, okay. So if you remember nothing else, time for another coffee. If you remember nothing else, it's all about Jesus. So he is on about drawing it back to Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of that heresy comes these four chapters. And there's that beautiful bit in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. There's a great song. The image of the... I won't even do it. But it's the image of the invisible God. That in seeing Jesus, we see the fullness of what God is like. Stunning stuff. So in this passage today, these 25 verses, there are essentially five components. There's something where he is talking about the centrality of Christ, that we in a sense need to be hidden in Christ. I'll come back to that in a minute when I talk about myself and how I've kind of tried to fall into God. So there's something about being hidden in Christ. Then because we're human, we kind of get it all wrong. And that's when the second reader moved into that bit, kind of the black catalogue of things we shouldn't be doing. We all know what we shouldn't be doing. The list is there. We've heard it many times. Then kind of how should we be? Then how do we create this new reality? How do we become that? And then once we've become that, so this is the new reality in Christ, then what does that mean for our relationships? And Paul spends time talking about our relationships between husbands and wives, between parents and children and parents, slaves and masters, how do we treat those that we employ? So how do we work this out as Christians living in community? So let's go back to the first four verses. How am I hidden in Christ? I mean, what's your relationship with God? How do you see God at the moment? I mean, who's God for you? Who's Jesus for you? What's been your experience of the Holy Spirit? What is your experience of the Holy Spirit at the moment? For me, as a young boy, we lived on a farm just out of the Manawatu in Linton. And as a young guy, I got confirmed at about 13, you know, got my brown suit and was all doled out to be confirmed while the girls wore white dresses. It was another time. You know, God was very real, but in the sense of God up there, the majestic aspect of God, I suppose. And I remember walking down the race on the farm to bring the cows in, singing, O Lord my God, when an awesome wonder, consider all the works thy hands have made. The cows pricked their ears up, often raised their tails and headed off in the other direction, but God, I hope, was happy. So that was the God of a 13-year-old. And then as I grew up, I guess it became more Jesus, my friend and brother, nudging me, talking into my ear and so on. I then hit St John's Theological College in those years from, I was there 82, 3, 4. So we'd had the Springbok tour in 81. By the time I got there, social justice was the big issue. And so I was involved in wearing black cassocks, walking down Queen Street. I'd managed to find a little white casket. We had black balloons filled with helium, and we were protesting against these nuclear-powered submarines that were coming into Auckland waters. As well at that time, students were being thrown into prison because they were at Bastion Point. They'd been on the Hamilton rugby field. There were the issues around racism. There were the issues around sexism. We were trying always to use non-gender-specific language, and if you happened to call God Father, you were sorted out verbally at some stage. So it was a time of the social justice gospel, and there's a real place for it. It's just a bit dangerous when it becomes too far away from other aspects. Then I came out of St John's College and ended up as a curate at Christchurch Whanganui. And we had a Barry Kissel mission. Well, I remember sitting at the back of the church, arms folded, legs crossed. This was going to be a long weekend. What was it all going to be about? Well, Barry Kissel led an amazing mission. And in the midst of it, he got us all to stand up, and we had to put our hands out like this. And I thought, oh, for goodness sake, you know. Calls down the Holy Spirit. Those that might have the gift of prophecy might feel a tingling in their throats. Nothing happened for me. See, I knew it was all a lot of nonsense. Then he said, those of you that might have the gift of healing might find that your hands get really hot. Oh, wow. Did mine get hot? And so began a time there where we were very involved in the gifts of the Spirit. The church was full on a Sunday night as people came expecting God to turn up, and God did turn up, and ministry went well on into the night. And where do I sit now? Well, I guess I sit in a place where silence and contemplation, Ignatian contemplation, Lectio Divina, are things that are now part of who I am. All those other bits are part of it as well. But perhaps the bit about being hidden in Christ, I've kind of moved to a point, I've just finished reading a book called Going Deep with God, or Falling Deeply into God, and I'm kind of at that stage where I'm imagining myself being fully encased by God, loved by God, hidden within God. And it's a kind of an interesting place for an ex-physics teacher who kind of likes to sit out and be pretty rational about the whole thing. It's all a learning thing as we go deeply into God. We then move to, and of course it's highly scriptural that, because there's an awful lot about God kind of surrounding us as the mother hen, as the owl, caring for us, loving for us, subsuming us within God's self. So then we have what I talked, you know, verses 5 through to 11, the kind of black catalogue. The things that we know we shouldn't be doing, the kind of fixations, and Paul lists a whole variety of those there. Sexual behaviour or inappropriateness, infidelity, fixations nowadays with pornography, which is a big issue, the extent to which we gossip, our greed, a lack of thankfulness, a self-centeredness in how we operate. So do we, as good Jesus followers, fall back into those ways? Of course we do. Are we a work in process at the hands of the master potter? Yes, we are. Will I continue to get it wrong? Absolutely. But slowly, God is changing me. And I would hope that you can see that you would have a story to say, I once was here and now I'm here. And how has that difference happened? It's happened slowly. And so we become something different. And Paul lists those kind of characteristics in different places. Galatians 5, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, how we should be. Kinder is a good word for the moment. I took the faculty away on a retreat to Vaughan Park 2 years ago, and we were trying to determine how should we be as faculty at the college. And one faculty member who I never expected it to come from, I need to go away and think why I didn't expect that, because we are quite nice at the college, you know. But he came back with the word kindness. Let's be kind. And I think kind is a good word, in many respects sums up those other words that Paul uses. To be kind. We spend a lot of time in church talking about love, and of course that overarches everything, but maybe the word for today, and Paul lists it there in those next verses, is to be kind. I sent off an email the other day, was about to send off an email the other day, it was pretty terse. I'd been preparing this sermon, I just slowed down, rewrote it slightly. It was much kinder than the email I was about to send. But you know, I guess one of the things I'm particularly bad at is my personality. I'm an A personality type, if you know what I am. Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTJ. Enneagram, I'm a 3. Now the danger with that is that you don't know how to be, you only know how to do. So workaholism is my biggest problem. And I was once a boarding housemaster at Whanganui Collegiate, working 7 days a week, had a rental property to do up when I wasn't on duty or wasn't preaching or wasn't teaching chemistry, physics and maths. And finally, the ambulance took me to hospital and I had chronic fatigue syndrome for 10 years. God sorts us out, gets us one way or the other. But you know, gossip, there's a great movie called Doubt. Who's seen the movie Doubt? Okay, a few of you. You remember in it, Father O'Rourke is getting a rather hard time. People are wondering really what he's about. And there's a woman who's been involved in a lot of gossip. And she comes into the confessional. And he says to her, after she has confessed her gossip, and he's given her a bit of a hard time about it, he says, right, go home, get your feather pillow, climb up into the top of your roof, slit it open, and let the feathers go to the wind, and then come back and see me. And she comes back, and he says to her, now go and pick up every one of those feathers. I can't, she says. They've blown everywhere. It's impossible. And as an Irish priest, he says, exactly. And that is the effect of gossip. So, you know, have I gossiped in the last few days? Yes, I have. Have I been perhaps a little ungenerous of others in the last few days? Yes, I have. But let us find a way of being kinder. So what's the remedy for all this being human? Well, in verses 14 to 17, Paul outlines some of the ways of doing that. And I want to focus particularly on verse 3:16. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, it's interesting that 15 years ago I found that often as I went through the Bible, there were some verses that seemed to stand out. And one of the things I noticed was that they were often ones that were 3:16s. Now, some of you might have at one stage noticed that I've seen it a couple of times. I've seen 3:16 as a number plate. I've seen John 3:16 as a number plate. It was just JN 3:16. And most of us know that that's kind of the summary of the gospel. But if you have nothing else to do this afternoon, after you've eaten a lovely meal together, go home and wander through the scriptures, through the New Testament, and you will find that there are some interesting passages in the 3:16s. If you've got time, write them out on a piece of paper and shuffle them around. You can tell the whole gospel story through from where it all began, what it's all about, how to be, how not to be, how to love, get a blessing. And so I'm aware that I've got 5 minutes more. Is that right? You'll give me five beyond that. Okay. Well, look, just a few of them. Neither hot nor cold, I'll spew thee out. Where's that from? Revelation 3:16. So what's the remedy for that? How are we going to be hot? Well, we just heard it today. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The more we read the scriptures, the more we're going to be corrected, encouraged, and loved by the word dwelling deeply within us. Okay? So I could actually make that available through Xiaomi. I've actually got them all written out if you want the easier version, but just note these things. I'm not into numerology. This is not the Da Vinci Code. It's nothing like that. It's just a really interesting thing that the 3:16s seem to be quite a powerful group of texts. It begins from what John the Baptist has to say to the Spirit coming down upon, this is my dear beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, and so on. Right, finally, so we've got the new reality in Christ. If we dwell in Christ, then these things we don't do so well can be sorted so that we become more compassionate, more loving, more kind, and we do that through dwelling in the Word of God. Therefore, we now, with all that behind us, or dwelling in us, we enter into these new relationships. How are we now going to be? He begins by talking about the relationship between husbands and wives. And it's one of those passages when I'm facetiously trying to get my wife to stop getting at me over something that I should be got at. I say, you know, something like Ephesians 5:22, do you? You know? Because in Ephesians 5:22, he has exactly the same bit. Wives, submit to your husbands. Now, let's see these as two books written in the same prison, so we take them together. Now, in Ephesians, he actually has the same verse, but before it, he has a nice one, which is submit equally to each other. Then he has this one, and let's face it, he was a Jew speaking to that particular environment. But then he comes up with this, and let's just remind ourselves that the Jewish male prayed in the morning in those days. I don't imagine Jewish men do it now, but they used to pray and give thanks that they were neither a Gentile nor a slave nor a woman. So that's the context into which we're about to get some absolutely revolutionary stuff from Paul. Because that's the context. And remember, in the Greek environment where Colossae was, men had courtesans for pleasure, they had concubines, and they had their wife. And the role of the wife really was just to be one to give legitimate children and to look after the household. So men had three different types of relationships with women. I mean, I just feel tired at the thought, but let's move on. So here we have Paul restating something, but then he says, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. This is radical stuff. So it's no longer God, husband, wife. It is God, husband, wife. It is equality in Christ. The Anglican Church has, across the communion, has struggled with this, about the place of women. It was, and in fact this country, remember, first to have suffrage, 1893 I think it was, or something, first place for women to get the vote, but we've still struggled to give women equality. We were the first country to have a fully ordained diocesan bishop who was a woman in Penny Jamison, and the challenges that Penny faced when she went to the Lambeth Conference in 1988 or 98. I think it was 98. She was almost blacklisted by the bishops that were there. It was horrendous. At the college, we have men and women equally being offered for ordination, and that's been happening for the last 30 to 40 years. Still in New Zealand, there is not an equity of pay between men and women. And we don't have a great history in terms of domestic violence. Sexual abuse of women is horrendous, and the statistics I have here are that in Aotearoa, worldwide sexual assault of women is 7.2%, in Aotearoa it's 16.4%. One in six women in New Zealand are sexually assaulted by the age of 16. And we're still not there, as I've said, with full equality of pay. We've still got a work to do, and we have to remember, in terms of today's reading, that we are equal in Christ. So, is this Colossians 3 stuff easy? No, it's not. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If I listen to the Spirit of God, if I listen to my brothers and sisters in Christ who critique me, already had one person speak to me this morning, that's great. So the sermon's just slightly different to what it was at 8 o'clock. That's all good. So let us, as we enter fully into being Jesus followers, let this bit of Colossians chapter 3 challenge us as to how we are to be as Christians, how we are to be with each other. We celebrate a new reality, and we must live out new relationships. So may God bless each of us, to use Paul's expression today, as we take off the old garments and put on the new. Let me pray for you. Most loving God, as we gather this morning, we thank you for the reality of who you are. As we sit here, we pray that we may fall into you, feel held by you. We hold to the reality that you are all and in all. Each of us comes this morning with our own challenges, our own issue that sits in the black catalogue. We allow your Holy Spirit to bring the issue that you would want to work on in our lives to our mind at this moment. Lord God, come and dwell within us, cleansing us, making us whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.